Bruce Taylor supports the Communications Decency Act, which outlaws indecent material distributed to minors on the Internet. He advised the senators who wrote the amendment. He's the president of the National Law Center for Children and Families. He formerly worked in the Justice Department as a senior trial attorney in the Child Exploitation and Obscenity Section. He's prosecuted many state and federal obscenity jury cases. Taylor says that critics of the act overstate the impact it will have on adults' ability to communicate on the net.
It's only a crime under this statute if a person knowingly, in the definition you give a jury for knowingly, is an intentional act that's not a mistake or an accident. So if someone knowingly and intentionally sends indecent, patently offensive material to a person under 18, they violated the act. Or if they knowingly send it for display in a manner that they know is available to minors, then they are violating the act. Two things have to go into that. One, yeah, you have to know it's going to children, but two, you have to be sending material that would be indecent or patently offensive here. That, you know, the ability of parents or adults to communicate indecently with each other is not affected by this act, other than because some adults may want to put their material up there without any restrictions on it, and they want to post it on the anywhere on the Internet. Is no different than the ACLU saying, well, I want to put Hustler centerfolds on a billboard on the side of the road or in the front window of my store or on the radio or television. The law can restrict adults' methods of providing their information as long as those methods are not so unreasonable as to prevent the speech from getting out at all.
What kind of restrictions are available now that you could put on adult communication?
Well, there are some that are available now, and there are some that are technically possible and will be available soon or could be implemented at any minute by the computer access companies and the server owners. One of the ways that it's available now is by email. If I'm an adult and I send something to another adult in an email, because those emails are protected by law, no one can get into them, the government needs a warrant, it's a crime for anybody else to break in or steal your unopened email, therefore, just like using the U.S. mails, anything you put in an email message from one to another is going to, by definition, exclude children, therefore you've communicated to adults without any risk that kids are going to get it. The other way is to post your materials on areas of the servers or on the net or on the World Wide Web where there are restricted access provisions. In other words, the online service companies like America Online or Prodigy or CompuServe could very easily, and I hope that they do this, create adult access boards and minor access boards so that when you subscribe and you get online, you have, if you have a credit card or an adult PIN number from some place that would identify you as an adult, they can give you access to the adult boards or the unrestricted boards. And if you don't have a credit card or one of those adult PIN numbers, then you could be restricted from reaching those adult boards but could still go anyplace else on the net. That would allow any user sitting at home who's an adult, if they wanted to post graphic pictures out of Hustler or something that was pornographic, they could put it on one of the adult restricted boards and they know that kids wouldn't get it. And that wouldn't be too much to ask for an adult any more than saying, if you're going to sell Playboy or Penthouse, put them up on a top rack, put a shrink wrap cover, put them behind the counter. Adults can still get them, but kids don't.
Now, what about the World Wide Web? You don't need an online service to have access to the World Wide Web. How do you expect the government to regulate indecent material on the World Wide Web, with which people have access to around the world, without a screener like an online service?
Federal laws in this country apply only within the United States, and so they apply to the U.S. citizens. We can't control what other people can do, but we can control what we do here. And if we want to protect our children, we can't, you know, require that people in foreign countries protect their children. However, it is possible for adults to have a computer system on the Internet that does have adult and minor access or restricted access to that kind of material that you shouldn't want to give to kids. I mean, I don't know why anybody would want to give that kind of hard, you know, the very explicit, offensive kind of material to children. I mean, to be indecent, we're not talking about Catcher in the Rye or AIDS education or frank discussions of sex and sex ed classes. That's not the kind of material that anybody that I know, nor any court that I've ever been in, federal or state, would consider indecent. And so that the only people that I've ever heard say that AIDS information or sex education materials like they're talking about in the schools, or classic works of literature, or the Sistine Chapel, Rubens paintings. The only people saying that stuff is indecent is the ACLU and the Electronic Frontier and the all of these people who want to legalize pornography and make it available to everybody. I mean, I think they're the ones who are crazy, because they're the only ones that think this is offensive. No one else does. So I think they're scaring people into taking off material that is protected, that wouldn't be subject to prosecution, wouldn't be restricted by this law. But to the extent that our government can say, you should set up a system where adults can talk to each other, but they don't infringe, or they don't have the right to use the internet as a way to exclude children or make it so that kids can't go on there without bumping into offensive material. We do that in every other facet of American life. We do it to stores, theaters, businesses, schools, and homes. We can do it to the internet, and I don't think that's too much to ask.
Adults already have the ability at home to screen the internet for their children. There is already software available to do that. So, I mean, can't we say that you don't need the government to worry about that? You know, parents can just take care of that themselves.
And we think those programs are a great idea. As a matter of fact, every time I've spoken in the last 8 months, I've said there are three things that have to be done if you're going to try to protect children. You need a combination of government, industry, and parents. You need a good law. You need industry to cooperate by developing technology, hardware, software, and restricted and unrestricted areas that people can use. And you also need parents to fill in the gap. You can't expect the law nor the industry to protect your kids from everything. Under this bill, the computer access providers are not liable for something that's on a facility they don't control. So America Online's only going to be liable for America Online's own chat lines and bulletin boards and services they offer. And if you go through America Online and go off onto the internet someplace and you bump into something that's illegal, obscenity, child pornography, or, you know, indecency, America Online is not going to be responsible under this bill if your child bumps into indecency on someone else's facility. So there is something friendly there that it helps the industry grow, but it also means that parents are going to have to fill in the gap with these software provisions. But just because parents have the right or the ability, apparently, to screen out most of the stuff on their individual computer doesn't mean that that's going to protect all of our children. Not only does it mean that we have to trust that the software is going to work, but it also means that where are these softwares going to be installed? Yes, I can put one on my computer, but will my school do it? You've got plaintiffs in this lawsuit that are complaining about that they might not have the right to give students unrestricted access to hardcore and sexually explicit material on the internet. It's clear that there are some people who won't be responsible and won't put these kinds of software programs in. And just like there are stores that say, I don't want to take the porno magazines off the shelves, a parent's only choice is to say, well, we're not going to let our kids go in those stores. I don't think kids should be restricted from the internet. They have a right to use it. And I think if adults have to just hold back the most offensive of their speech from the presence of children, and there are ways that adults can still get it to other adults, that's a good compromise so that we can at least allow our children the same right to this internet that we're claiming to have.
My guest is Bruce Taylor, the president of the National Law Center for Children and Families. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Bruce Taylor, president of the National Law Center for Children and Families. He supports the new Communications Decency Act, which outlaws the use of the internet to distribute indecent material to minors. Do you think that this is going to practically result in a lot of indecent material being taken off the net because there is no way of assuring that it won't be used by minors?
No, I don't think that. And I think there will be some indecent material that will be taken off the public areas of the net. I hope that a lot of the hardcore obscenity gets taken off anyway, because that's a crime and no one even has a defense to that. So a lot of the alt-sex bestiality and alt-sex group sex type of pictures that are up there, those shouldn't be there anyway. I mean, if those are obscene, they're not supposed to be there. But for indecent material, there are some material. Hustlers and Playboy and Penthouse's web pages or their services should not be available for free for any kid. They should ask for a credit card or a PIN number. It's not too much to ask. They shouldn't be posting free centerfold pictures up there to tease people and making those available to minors. I think, however, that the kind of materials that the ACLU lawsuit says they're afraid are indecent is a fraud on the public, because they are not complaining about hustler centerfolds like the courts are going to be finding indecent. They are scaring Sister Mary Elizabeth and the computer teachers, you know, access counselors and AIDS crisis awareness people and writers union people into thinking that their materials are indecent, when I don't think, and the courts are not going to think, and the definition doesn't apply to most of these materials.
Say you're a 16-year-old and you're surfing the net looking for information about safe sex. Or say you think you might be gay and you're surfing the net looking for an interesting discussion about homosexuality, about gay literature. Would
yeah,
you
and this
have
bill wouldn't
to
have
that?
Anything to do with that. Yes, this bill has nothing to do with the topics or the subject matter of your discussions. The Supreme Court has held in the Seven Dirty Words case that everybody talks about, the George Carlin case. It's called FCC versus Pacifica. That was 1978. The Supreme Court said to be indecent, material has to be a patently offensive representation of a sexual organ or activity. But it also isn't taken in a vacuum. It has to be taken in the context that it's used, the message, the audience, the show, whether children are there, whether it's done for shock value. You consider the factors just like you do with obscenity. And people say, well, I don't know what's obscene either. Well, the Supreme Court said adults have to live with some kinds of restrictions for obscenity, even though everybody may have a different opinion of what it is. But same thing with indecency. It's not just what one parent might think is patently offensive. It's what the entire country's, you know, the court system would figure is patently offensive in the context that it's used. Therefore, and then the Supreme Court in another case involving a school, and I was an amicus in that case, and I didn't contest support the school's version. I said these laws are not harmful to matters laws and indecency laws are not designed to restrict the type of speech you can engage in. In other words, it's not the political message or the social or artistic or sexual politics you're arguing. That can't be banned from children. It is the pictures or the words you may use to describe your politics that could be indecent. And the Supreme Court agreed, and they said you cannot ban books or you cannot restrict from children subject matters like discussions of gay rights or politics or Nazi concentration camps or anything else, but you could require that adults refrain from discussing those topics in indecent language or in with offensive pictures. And so that's all that this bill would require of adults, is that you can have chat sessions about safe sex and gay politics all you want, but if you wanted to show a child a picture of two men engaging in anal intercourse or something, that might be something that most adults would feel is something that should be done only with adults, unless you get the parents' permission to let that child see that kind of material.
Is this going to require online services to start policing their users?
No. What it's going to do, because they don't have to, they're only liable if they know. Most of the online services do police, and this bill was written in a way to give them immunities from the acts of others and good faith defenses, and the whole, they wanted these things. They asked for them, Congress gave them, they had no hesitation in getting them. They said, if we take self-policing, good Samaritan methods on our own, we don't want to be liable for it like Prodigy was up in a New York lawsuit, where Prodigy tried to screen out some stuff and something got through and the court found Prodigy liable and not other companies. But so Congress said, certainly, to the extent that companies want to take their own actions to screen out things they don't think are appropriate or that they would rather restrict from children, they should have an immunity, both from civil and criminal lawsuits and prosecutions. And they got that. So therefore, they got the industry pretty much got everything they wanted. They would have liked to have had the harmful to minor standard instead of indecency, but it's not really a major difference. I mean, the kind of materials the courts will find one, they would find the other, and vice versa, so that's not a big difference. The industry got everything that they said they needed in order to survive and not be liable for the acts of others, and they got protection for any good faith efforts, just like the phone companies who don't want to carry dial-a-porn don't have to, and you can't force a movie theater to play Deep Throat if it wants to play The Godfather. And so private industry has rights to restrict itself or to offer certain kinds of programming, and this bill gives them the ability to do that.
Are you concerned about a chilling effect? In other words, that some people, like online services, might start taking things out of their service, not because they think it's indecent, but because they think it might be challenged and they just want to save themselves the hassle and the money that a lawsuit involves.
I think there is going to be a lot of self-restraint, self-policing, even self-censorship, and that might be considered a prior restraint by some. Some of it will be fueled by corporations that say, I don't want to sell Playboy Penthouse in the lobby store of my hotel, and I'm not going to carry it in my chain of retail stores. And some of them are going to say, on my computer access bulletin boards on America Online, I'm not going to carry some of that. I'm not going to carry alt-sex bestiality or pedophilia. I'm not going to carry the Hustler web page unless the Hustler takes a credit card. Or I'll screen it out unless an adult gives us a credit card. So yes, I do think there's going to be a lot of that. And I also think, sadly enough, that there's going to be a prior restraint against some protected materials. Some of the material that Sister Mary Elizabeth May wants to give out about AIDS or safe sex or disease or gay politics, some of that material she will withhold from the net. Not because the law would say it's indecent, but because she's been scared by the civil liberties crowd into thinking that she's going to get arrested. And I think that's where the prior restraint's going to come in. I think that's a shame, but I think legitimate sexual materials are not going to be restricted under the law, but I think a lot of people will take a more maybe paranoid view of it and restrict more speech than they have to. But I think after a while that'll sort its way out, just like it did with museums and libraries and retail stores, and just like people in America know what you can't say on television, what you're not going to find on the shelves at the local convenience store, what you're not going to see on the theater screens at Lowe's Theater. It won't take all that long for us grown-ups to figure out what we can do and not do on the net. We're not that stupid.
Bruce Taylor is the president of the National Law Center for Children and Families. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.